This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, and it's going to be a huge hour. Natalie Winters, investigative reporter, is going to join us about a half hour from now, talk about some of these nominees, if they're going to get through. I am about to address this Kash Patel hacking operation they allegedly went through. Emails, hilarious voicemails, some guys really upset with me. All that. And the United Healthcare CEO was assassinated on the streets of New York this morning? That's interesting. All that and more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I'm going to begin with this because this is something, there's something we all have to be aware of. And if you're not aware of it, you're completely going to fall for it. If you are aware of it, you'll never fall for it. So we just have to discuss how this works. You understand the intelligence agencies of this country, NSA, CIA, yes, the FBI is included in that. It should be a law enforcement agency. Instead, it's an intelligence operation now. You understand that they are part of the system, that they want things to continue exactly as they've been. You want change, you want reform, you want the swamp drain, you got all that. But the people who run these organizations, that's the last thing they want. They want nothing to change. They want endless bloated budgets, endless corrupt schemes without accountability at all. To say they're resistant to change would be the understatement of the year. And remember, the damaging thing about having a system is the institutions on which your society rests, they work with each other. I've compared them many times to bank robbers, to a bank robbery crew. Instead of being one guy who shoplifts a candy bar and sticks up the gas station clerk for 50 bucks, instead, these gangsters came together and realized if we work together, we can clear out the bank vault that is the U.S. Treasury. So they work together. Now, what's one way this works? Well, there's a way we have seen time and time and time again, and we have to understand this. Remember, I'll just give you a couple quick examples. You know what? We'll use one quick example. Remember when Tucker Carlson came out and said, I got told by a whistleblower that the NSA is spying on my emails, that they are illegally looking into my emails. And he said this on, this was still when he was on Fox News. He came out and he said this publicly. The NSA is looking at my stuff. They're looking at my private information and they shouldn't be doing this. Of course. Oh, you have it, Chris? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Play it. Yeah.
But it's not just political protesters the government is spying on. Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take this show off the air. Now, that's a shocking claim, and ordinarily we'd be skeptical of it. It's illegal for the NSA to spy on American citizens. It's a crime. It's not a third world country. Things like that should not happen in America. But unfortunately, they do happen, and in this case, they did happen. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. There's no other possible source for that information, period. The NSA captured that information without our knowledge and did it for political reasons. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that. Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away.
So the NSA spying on Tucker Carlson's emails and texts is not shocking, but a lot of people forget the second part of that. The institutions work together, you see. About 5 minutes after the NSA was accused of spying on Tucker Carlson's texts and emails, American media publications began publicizing Tucker Carlson's texts and emails. You see, not only do we have evil intelligence agencies like the FBI working against us at all times, they work hand in hand with the American media, with every single elected Democrats, and with many members of the GOP establishment. They all work together to move an agenda forward. Sometimes the agenda is covering up their crimes. Sometimes their agenda is smearing someone on the other side. But they all move as one and work together. So if you're in the FBI spying on everyone's emails and text messages, whether you're supposed to or not, let's say you come across something damaging. Oh, wow, this is going to make Matt Gaetz look really bad. But you know you can't exactly run to the media and say, hey, my name's FBI agent Chris, and I stole these text messages from Matt Gaetz last night. Look at him. You can't do that, but you don't have to do that, because the gangsters who run the system in this country work together. So instead of calling a press conference, you call your friend who works at the New York Times, and he takes you out for a couple $20 beers in New York City. During this meeting, you hand him the text messages you want publicized. He runs with these text messages, publishes them in the New York Times. He, of course, never will quote you by name, because a journalist is allowed to always protect his sources, you see. And so you get to feed information to him. He gets to publicize it, get off scot-free. But wait, there's more. Once it's publicized in the New York Times, now every single Democrat senator will come out and say, oh my gosh, did you see the story in the New York Times? It's in the New York Times. Of course they wouldn't lie. Look at the text messages. This is in the New York Times. And then from there, the GOP weenie establishment types will be like, well, I mean, I guess I am really uncomfortable. After all, it was in the New York Times. I'm just not really sure about that. And so last night, we were treated to this story. This is a headline from CNN. Kash Patel, Trump's pick to lead the FBI, has been targeted by an Iranian hack, sources say. The Iranians, Iran, they hacked Kash Patel. Now, let me explain where this goes from here, because I don't believe that for a second. Oh, it's possible. It's certainly possible the Iranians actually did hack Kash Patel. I don't believe that. Chris, write this one down. I think the Americans hacked Kash Patel. Oh, of course, it probably was done through a proxy, right? This contractor who works with this contractor who works with this guy, making sure nothing can, of course, be traced back to the NSA, CIA, FBI, whoever actually did the hacking. But I'll tell you this, the hacked materials, I think they hacked it. I think they're combing through every single word that Kash Patel has ever emailed or texted somebody. And I bet you money, before too long, you're going to start seeing articles, maybe in the New York Times, maybe on MSNBC, maybe somewhere, you're going to start seeing the, quote, hacked material that was leaked to the American media. The media will run with the stories. Kash Patel said that Donald Trump is ugly. We had the text message from 2 years ago. The New York Times runs with it. Then it's on every single nightly news. NBC will run with it. Everyone will run with this story. Oh my gosh, he's hacked. Look what Kash Patel said. It's a disaster. The weenies in the GOP Senate, they'll go along with it like they always do. Well, I'm not really comfortable. You remember Lindsey Graham's comments yesterday. New York Times runs a couple hit pieces, ridiculous hit pieces on Pete Hegseth. They're publicizing emails from his freaking mother, talking about a private email from his mother, a private email his mother shot down, but they're publicizing it. And of course, Lindsey Graham all of a sudden is very, very uncomfortable. And soon, before you know it, yet another nominee goes down. This is not necessarily about Kash specifically. This is how they operate, and we have got to understand this is how they operate in order to steel ourselves for when they do it the next time, and the next time, and the time after that, and the time after that, and the time after that. This is how evil, corrupt systems work. in a country that was completely, purely communist, they wouldn't have to jump through the hoops. The government would simply grab you, break your fingers, get damaging information about you, force you to sign a confession the way they used to do in the Soviet Union all the time, then have a public trial and shoot you in the face. But here in America, they understand they have to be a little bit more delicate because of the laws and the freedoms and the Constitution. So this is how they accomplish the exact same thing through other means. And unless you know that's how they do it, it gets you. It works. Well, it was in the New York Times. Iran. I truly doubt they hacked Cash Patel. You want to know who hacked Cash Patel? Start at the Hoover Building. All right. Let's do something good real quick. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers. You see, Tunnel to Towers is that wonderful, blessed organization that takes care of fallen first responder families, Gold Star families, homeless veterans on the streets. Tunnel to Towers is getting them off the streets, giving them a warm bed, place to stay. It's building smart homes for catastrophically injured veterans, doing all the things we want done. That's what Tunnel to Towers does, and they use $11 a month you give them to do it. That's all they've ever asked for, $11 a month. And when you give the Tunnel to Towers, it goes directly to its programs, more than 95 cents of every dollar. That's insane. T, the number 2, T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show with me, world famous author, Oracle Jesse. And I should know, I should let you know right now. One, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Natalie Winters is going to join us about 10 minutes from now, handicap these nominees. Also, I'm a little wet right now. I have this bottle of water. Maybe you even heard it. I think it was last segment. I was talking with my hands as I normally do, and I knocked the bottle of water off the desk, and I just kind of ignored it because that's what we professionals in radio do, you know. Turns out the cap came off, and hey, Chris, there's a lot of water in here. Is that going to mesh well with the electronics? I'm not sure if it'll be. I'm sure it's fine. It's fine. That's why you ground things. It's totally fine. Anyway, let's go to the voicemails. Remember, you can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373.
Yeah, Jesse, please bring up what's going on with Pete Hefes. I think Trump should make a huge mistake if he dishes him. That we shouldn't be playing their game anymore, which is they're going to keep doing and keep doing and tell him to stop. He's a great man. He's a combat veteran. So do your best to save his behind. Thank you, sir. See ya. Bye.
Doing my best, and you have to do your best too. Remember, we all have a role to play. You can make noise. You can email your senator. You can call. You can put something up on social media and make sure you CC or at your senator or whoever it is. They need to feel pressure. People in politics, politicians are followers, not leaders. They're followers. They will succumb to public pressure sometimes. This guy, he's trying to do a public pressure campaign on me.
You're a f***ing idiot. You know that? You think you're so f***ing religious. You're nothing but a f***ing. You don't know nothing about the f***ing Bible. If you did, you wouldn't be speaking the way you would. You wouldn't be voting for Trump. You're a f***ing. You know that I want you to, I cuss you all day long. I was raised in an independent Baptist church, and you are just like them. You want to control everybody. You think lie like a, just like your buddy Trump. Goodbye.
If you too would like to leave a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Chris, be honest. How long did it take you and Corey to beep everything out there so we could play that for the kids? On my life, that's a real voicemail. We didn't do that. That wasn't a gag. How long did it take, Chris? 5 minutes? Longer? Oh, man, that sucks. Jesse, alpha male fierce. Correct as always, they're going after Cash and Pete Hegseth big time in a slow building process gaining strength. Every MAGA and other citizen need to contact their senators now. Yes, we do. Remember, we have power. I know it doesn't. I know you feel helpless sometimes.
I feel helpless sometimes. You look and you think, I can't change that. I want to stop this. I want to help this. But you are not helpless. In fact, because of electronics, the internet, to be honest with you, you probably have more political power now than most Americans have had in our history. Because let's say it's 1980, not even ancient history, 1980, 1990. If it's 1990 and you want to put pressure on your senator, let's say Senator Lindsey Graham is your senator and you want to pressure him to vote for Hegseth. How are you getting hold of him? It's 1990. Maybe, and I can't stress that enough, maybe you will be able to acquire the phone number for his office in South Carolina or his office in D.C. Let's give you enough credit to say you can do that. Okay, fine. You were able to make a phone call. What else could you do? Maybe pen a letter. If you have a wonderful pen like I do, maybe you could pen a letter. But other than that, not much, right? The United States of America and other world every country really now, our leaders, they're on social media and they read everything. Do you know, here's something crazy. Do you know, I'll tell you something. You know, I know some senators and members of the House and whatnot just because of what I do. You know that I've had multiple of them email or text me. Not things that I've said on Twitter. They've done that before, obviously, but they will text me random comments from random people that resonate with them. Maybe you think you're just blowing in the wind, but you are not. There's a good chance the people who lead this country will read what you put online. There's power in that. Obviously, there are negatives that come with being able to talk to everyone all the time. I get all that, but there's political power there. More political power than most people have. We have to use it. We have to use it, one, to defeat people like this loser Chronister who we shot down, the DEA nominee, gone. Trump heard you and he yanked him. And we have to use it to support people like Patel, like Hegseth, like others. We can't give them another scalp. Anyway, we'll talk to Natalie Winters in a moment. And she's heavily into D.C. And I'll be interested to hear what she has to say about his confirmation probability. Before we talk to Natalie Winters, let me talk to you about living with pain. It's awful. I have been there multiple times in my life. And as you get older, it's only going to get worse. As you get older, things go bad. The body is not made to last forever. What is that pain when you wake up in the morning that you are dreading already? Is it your neck? Maybe your back is always hurting. That knee, it bothers you. Maybe your hands hurt. Have you tried Relief Factor? They let you try it for 3 weeks. $19.95 is a 3-week quick start kit. It's drug-free, 100% drug-free. It's a supplement. You start taking Relief Factor every morning, and it helps your body's natural response to inflammation. So you're not taking things to mask the pain. That stuff's terrible for you. You're not ignoring it. Well, I don't want to golf anymore. You're doing something about it. Go do something about it. You have power there. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, turn it off. Gosh, that was awful. Did Natalie request that? She requested that? Oh, we're going to have to talk. Joining me now, my friend Natalie Winters, investigative journalist, host, co-host of the wonderful War Room and selector of the worst freaking music to introduce herself in the history of mankind. Natalie, what was that?
That was Charlie XCX. Look, I prefaced when your producer was on the phone with me, I said, I have horrible music taste. Don't make me choose the intro song. But they were adamant. They persisted in true Elizabeth Warren style fashion. And they made me choose a song. So I apologize, but that's what you're left with.
Yeah, you know what? We're just going to go ahead. And Chris, we're going to pick for Natalie next time. We can't do that to her. Again, everyone's listening. We can't do that to her. Anyway, as bad as you are at music, you are that good when it comes to investigative reporting and getting the pulse of what's happening in D.C. And that's kind of why I wanted you to come on today. I wanted to lean on you a little bit about this Hegseth stuff, Natalie, because I'm getting nervous. I really, really want Pete Hegseth in there. I know that the low-T GOP in the Senate sees themselves as the protectors of a very evil system. Why don't you do some handicapping for me right now? How are we looking?
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm so glad that it's actually you who had reached out to me on Twitter to come on the show, because when you were asking for my number to set up this interview, I was like, I hope his account wasn't hacked. So I'm very glad to actually be joining your radio program and to be giving you my insight and the War Room insight on all of this. I think, look, to sort of contextualize what's happening with Pete, you have to go back to Matt Gaetz, right? Mm-hmm. When they felt that they killed his nomination, they sensed the blood in the water. And I know we spend so much time talking about the resistance. And when we say that word, we conjure up images of, you know, the crazy pink pussy hat wearing liberal protester types. But so much of the resistance to the Trump movement comes, like you said, right, from the establishment wing of the Republican Party, the rhino senators. And they're, I think, more of a formidable force, at least right now, when it comes to these, you know, Senate hearings. And I think that Pete is certainly standing strong. I'm sure your audience has probably seen by now he did a wonderful interview with Megyn Kelly today. President Trump called him this morning and said, you know, hang in there. You have the spine, the courage to do this. But I think that you're seeing basically establishment Republicans sort of bend the knee. I think the reporting that I've seen as of late is that there's about six Republican senators who are indicating that they would likely vote no. Again, that sort of contradicts what Pete Hegseth has been saying as he's been making the rounds. But look, I think that it's just sort of a character assassination, which isn't necessarily a novel take, but I think the real sort of buried lead, and why I think you're going to only see this fight ratchet up in intensity, the buried lead, Rachel Maddow, dedicated basically her entire show. You know, she's the railhead of the entire kind of corporate left-wing media. On Monday night, to focusing on Pete Hegseth, and she had on the New York Magazine author of one of the hit pieces, there's so many, against him. And she said that her phone was ringing off the hook, that all these people were calling her, trying to have her write additional smear campaigns, sort of, I think, being a shot across the bow, right? The idea that they're not going to let up on trying to smear him, and they're sort of trying to intimidate him. So I don't, like you, I don't ever put faith or anything in our Republican senators. So I think it's important that this audience, your audience, calls their senators and lets them know not just that they need to vote to confirm Pete Hegseth, but that they need to publicly support him. But I don't know. And it's very rarely that I do an interview where I say I don't know, but it seems like Pete Hegseth is not backing down, but neither is the left and neither is the establishment right.
Speaking with Natalie Winters, co-host of The War Room. Okay, Natalie, obviously everyone knows the Murkowskis, the Susan Collinses, and honestly, I don't get mad at them. I don't blame them. That's about as good as we're going to get from states like Alaska and Maine. I focus more of my fire on the blood-red states, the Mike Rounds, the John Thunes, the Lindsey Grahams, the John Cornyn types. These are the types who screw us every time. Of those types, what are the six names?
I don't believe that the reporting on that is totally concrete as to who mm-hmm. they are. I think it's just sort of a nebulous floating, you know, construct. You can probably, though, you probably just doxed them.
Yeah.
Probably, right? It's probably those people or just do the math, you know, who's not publicly supporting him. Or frankly, Jesse, I think maybe the best way to calculate it would see which senators have taken the most cash from the defense consulting and contracting companies, and who has advocated for continuing Ukraine war funding, everything going on there, Israel, Taiwan, you name the country, every country except the United States. And I'm pretty sure that in that basket of people, you can probably draw a direct through line to the largest proponents of forever wars abroad and the people who are opposing Pete Hegseth.
Natalie, do you have a good pen? Do you have a pen that you really like? I don't know if you can hear this. I'm doing it into the microphone. I just purchased this wonderful new pen, and I'm so unreasonably excited. It fits perfectly in my fingers. It does the little click thing. Don't shake your head, Chris. I'm excited about this pen. Do you have one you're proud of?
No. Last time I tried to give you guys something I support, it didn't go too well. I won't choose music or pens.
Okay. You know what? That's actually for the best. Somebody who chose that song shouldn't be choosing pens for anybody.
I'm
but
a woman, Jesse. You shouldn't ask me questions like this.
Okay. All right. Cash. Big fan. Thrilled that Cash Patel is chosen to lead the FBI. But I think you and I both know that this same thing that Pete's going through is coming for Cash. Handicap that.
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of the Alinskyite tactic, right, of trying to draw out the weakest link on the chain, the weakest, you know, column from the herd. That's what they're doing right now with Pete Hegseth. They obviously did it with Matt Gaetz, so they'll work their way up the chain. Although I will say I have been totally shocked and surprised to have seen so many senators come out publicly and forcefully in their endorsement of Cash Patel. I don't really think, since he already has so many top secret security clearances, that they'll be able to pull these sort of wild, unfounded, you know, uncorroborated claims, since he's already sort of gone through the process again. I'm sure those words will age horribly because we know how the left-wing media works, but I think that their angle of attack on him is more sort of using his own words against him. What I mean by that, using government gangsters, using the plot against the king, right? His books that they say created enemies lists, right? Identifying the 60 or so people that he thinks comprise the deep state, Republicans and Democrats alike. And they, of course, you know, the democracy defending brigade doesn't like that. I don't know, Cash Patel wants to, you know, actually have some change in Washington, D.C. and have these people actually be held accountable and not in the form of, you know, James Comer or Jim Jordan's congressional way or form of accountability. So I think that they're going to try to just continue to smear him as sort of an outlandish, unequipped, unprepared, unqualified radical. But in reality, I believe he's received awards even from the Obama administration when it comes to reprimanding and catching terrorists. And obviously under President Trump and even as a Capitol Hill staffer under Nunez, always sort of had a really wonderful track record. So I think that that's important that our audience just continues to hammer that home.
Natalie, what's realistic to expect from Trump when it comes to pardons for the January Sixers? Obviously, as in most things, I'm an extremist on this. I want a blanket pardon for every single one of them. If Hunter Biden gets one, I don't want to hear case by case basis. I want a blank document. Let them all out. Let them all free. But I know we live in the real world. What's realistic?
Well, real quick, I'd also add that I think Peter Navarro for senior counselor on all things trade and Monica Crowley
yes.
for Secretary of State are
yes.
wonderful, mm-hmm. wonderful additions. But when it comes to pardons, I mean, look, we could probably have a whole 8-hour discussion about the Hunter Biden pardon. But to answer the specific question, he needs to pardon everyone. This idea that you have to do it measured and judiciously. Hell no. The way that they prosecuted the January Sixers, they went out of their way to make it so they could create a fake, you know, hate crime astroturfed narrative that MAGA and white supremacists and domestic extremists we're coming for you and your children. So I say fight fire with fire, but don't stop there. I would extend it all the way out to the grandmothers who were, you know, praying the rosary at the abortion clinics that they went after. The precise reason that we need someone like Cash Patel in the FBI, it's why we need to reverse engineer all of the ridiculous charges, not just even the political persecutions against, you know, high profile people like my boss, Stephen K. Bannon, but the people whose cases you've probably never even heard of. That's who I'd start with and maybe work your way up to the Steve Bannon. So I don't even think he wants clemency. He wears his sentence as a badge of honor, and I'm sure Peter Navarro does too.
Give Steve my best, please. She is Natalie Winters. Go watch her, listen to her on The War Room. I'm sure you picked up another fan or two tonight. I appreciate you. Thanks, Natalie.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You know what I was just thinking about? Peer talk. What, Chris? I can't help it. Sometimes I daydream and I think about peer talk. I think how wonderful it is to have a cell phone company, to have an option for a cell phone company that doesn't hate me. And I calculate, I'm trying to think, my first cell phone, gosh, it was probably 2008. It was a while ago. How much money have I paid Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile to crap on my country? It's a lot. Monthly payment every month. Now I pay Pure Talk. I pay half of what I used to pay. You want to save some money? Switch to Pure Talk. You want to support a company that loves your country? Switch to Pure Talk. A company led by a Vietnam veteran where you will speak to an American who speaks English. That's Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more money than you were going to save. #250. Say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I almost called it a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Before I get back to that, I should update you on something. We are going to get into this assassination on the streets of New York briefly, get to some emails and other things, but I have some some heavy news. So that pen that I've been talking about, you know how I was doing the clicking thing a lot? The pen broke. I think it's still working. It's still functional, but the little thingy at the end that I was clicking like that, it popped off, and now it won't stay in anymore. I don't know if this turned out to be a very good pen, and now I wish I could take a lot of the things I've said back, but either way, pen's gone. No, I don't want to borrow your pen, Chris. Your pen sucks. I'd rather have my broken pen than your crappy pen. Jesse, every time you claim the left is intentionally changing our military to use against us, I want to remind you the reason recruiting goals are well below is because they have virtually eliminated physical training standards. No way a military that can't do any push-ups can turn against us as long as the Second Amendment is intact. Okay, and I want to remind you that it is not a strong, confident man who is the one you need to fear. A strong, confident man is not the type who's going to visit violence on you for no reason, or violence on you because he's ordered to do so. A weird, degenerate freak will, however, kill you and your entire family if told to do so. Weak men, weak people, mentally ill people, broken people like the ones they're recruiting, those are the people who will murder on request. The guy, you think the Green Beret who's all buff with some bad tattoos and cusses too much and a dip in his lip, you think that's the guy you need to fear? That's the guy who'll lay down and die for you and then probably drink all the beer in your fridge. He's not the one you need to fear. The degenerate tranny freak they just recruited, that's the one who will murder your entire family. That's the dangerous one. You know, when Stalin... You know, part of the reason Stalin got his teeth kicked in by the Germans so badly for a lot of that invasion, when Hitler and his big Nazi army invaded Russia, you know they were just encircling and wiping out entire Russian armies and beating the living crap out of Stalin. You know one of the reasons that happened? One of the main reasons? Because Stalin took all of his capable generals and he shot them all in the face or tortured them and threw them in gulags. He took his capable people out and replaced the capable people with a bunch of apparatchiks who were loyal to him. Why would he do that? Why would you degrade your military? Why would you take these capable generals out and replace them with losers? Because the losers will murder anyone he tells them to. Anyone he tells them to. They are building a military. And this is why. This is why reforming what they've done has to become top priority. It must become top priority. All right? All right. So we'll get to Lindsey Graham a little bit more maybe next hour. I do want to get to this assassination in New York. And speaking of New York, what is going on with Eric Adams? But here's an interesting little tidbit. This is courtesy of the Washington Examiner. Senate Democrats ponder preemptive pardons for Trump's political foes. Preemptive pardons. They're talking about handing pardons to people like Jack Smith and people who've committed crimes. It really is a lot to take in how many crimes the Biden administration committed in the last 4 years. Barack Obama took over the presidency, and for 8 years, he filled the government up with committed communists who will do anything for the revolution. Then there was this weird little blip, this little pause in there where Trump comes out of nowhere and he defeats Hillary Clinton. That was not supposed to happen. And all the people Barack Obama spent 8 years installing, they kneecapped Donald Trump from within the government at every turn, using their positions of power in criminal ways to try to just destroy him. They impeached him twice. They did all these things. Then they steal an election in 2020, and back comes Joe Biden. And that political commie machine Barack Obama had built and put into place, Democrats simply sat in the driver's seat, turned on the engine, and put that bad boy in overdrive. The breadth of the corruption and criminality is so stark. The president of the United States of America is handing out backdated blanket pardons over the course of 11 years. What happened inside of our government in the last 4 years may very well be studied in American history as one of the most evil times in the history of this country, when the communists achieved total power and did everything they could do to destroy their political opponents for it. And if you voted for Joe Biden, you voted for that. I can't imagine how thrilled this guy's going to be about that.
You're a f***ing idiot. You know that.
You know what? This is me talking to my new pen.
You're a f***ing idiot. You know that. You think you're so f***ing religious. You're nothing but a f***ing. You don't know nothing about the f***ing Bible. If you did, you wouldn't be speaking the way you would. You wouldn't be voting for Trump. You're a f***ing You know that. I want you to, like, cuss you all f***ing day long. I was raised in an independent Baptist church, and you are just like them. You want to control everybody. You play lie like a just like your buddy Trump. You can survive.
You know what kills me about that is at the very end, after that long, just completely deranged rant, at the very end, he still was nice enough to say bye. He's like, hey, bye. It's the beep, 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 bye. All right. The United Healthcare CEO was assassinated this morning on the streets of New York, and it's amazing because there's video of it. Let's talk about that video and the tragedy of all this next.